Is there any type of anything that's... He's already... He's been disappointed so many times, you see, that he's resigned to his fate, that this is the way things are, and that's it. That's the level of a satisfaction.
Compromise.
See? Yeah. He's compromised. In other words, originally a person wants to... He really wants to have a good life. And he wants to satisfy his desires. But if he usually works out, it is not successful. Because since he tries to do it through materialistic means, it doesn't work. So he becomes resigned to his fate. This is life, and that's it. And he, once he develops that outlook, you see, and he actually believes that this is the way it is, now there's very few exciting things that are going to happen to him in life. He's already seen that these exciting things are false. They don't work. See? Whereas that's because the person has not been successful. Whereas a person who is a chacham and has seen that he has been able to really make changes and has really been able to make headway, he retains that youthful type of frame of mind. So yeah, he retains the youthful zest because he hasn't been, he hasn't been beaten in life. See, that's the thing. The other person has been destroyed. I mean, he can't, he had to give up his whole, the whole process. But you see that it's natural for a human being when he's young to really strive to make life such that he's willing to make any type of changes, willing to accept any possibility in order to make life enjoyable, pleasurable. But once he sees that it doesn't work, then he becomes convinced. It's a certain conviction. It's a certain conviction that, look, this is the level of happiness. Things can't change, and that's the way it is. I'm telling you something new. I've tried it already. See, but it's a result of his failures. That's a result of experiencing the failure. It's not the old age per se. The result of experiencing failure countless times, and the experience always, whenever he has another experience of failure, see, it furthers his conviction that this is it. It becomes established. But if you're going to tell him new ideas, that emotion already for new ideas and new satisfaction has already been destroyed. Because he's tried that many times, it doesn't work. That's the average older person. Resigned to failure. In other words, he's resigned to that situation. He sees that the early youthful hopes that he had, the youthful excitement that he had about life, and I mean, that he thought he'd be able to really have a great life, he sees it didn't work. And he says, this is it. And now he's convinced from experience. Experience only serves to underline that conviction. And to show him, they're right, that's it, you can't expect anything. Now somebody comes along and tells him, look, I'm going to tell you a way to live. You're going to have a great life. All these problems, forget about. Wait, just a second, forget it. He's already tried it a number of times. It doesn't work. See? A young person hasn't tried it yet. But you see from this that that a person's nature is that he really wants to have a very enjoyable and very exciting life. Now, if a person is a chacham and he really does have an exciting life, so he never gave up this thing. So you found something new. He's willing to try anything. He's open. His mind is open. He hasn't been destroyed. But a person who has experienced total failure in trying to have an enjoyable life, he's that's it. You're not going to shake him up with any ideas. I mean, he's really, that's the way it is. Nothing can be changed here. The reason his conviction comes from his failures. That's what his conviction, that's the source of his conviction. Whereas a chacham really has experienced success in this area. So there's no reason why, no matter how outlandish and how wild an idea may sound, he's ready because he knows that that's the way things work. Could be, yeah, why not? Mentality, a certain frame of mind. Of course, in the world recognizes this too, and they say that it's wonderful to retain to have a youthful frame of mind. You see, but what they mean is that a person should not be rational and allow the failures to convince him that he really can never have it. See, they think the person should persist and be stubborn and keep on insisting that he can have it, because they notice that there's a certain excitement in youth that they lose in old age. So now they want that emotion too, you see? So they say you should stubbornly refuse to give in. And it's a reality. Of course, by doing that, you're definitely even more miserable. At least the guy gave in, and that's it. But this is the fantasy type of enjoyment that people run after. Well, they get the nice family and look at the average person and take a ride at a train. Or just look around at different people. You won't think, you won't see people that are having very exciting lives. People wouldn't be running to movies to have vicarious thrills when they're enjoying life and having such great excitement. Something, if somebody will fall in the street, you'll have somebody fall down the street and slip and break his foot, you'll have 100 people turn around and spend an hour looking around and see what happened to them. You know, that's how exciting their lives are. The average human life, unfortunately, is not too exciting, not too interesting. And that's what you can tell by the fact that the society has to constantly give a tremendous input of exciting things to the person can entertainment, the person can spend his life with. Mm-hmm. He's doing life so much, he wouldn't do it. Yeah. I was very helpful today. Statements, you know, are not made by great philosophers. So you have to realize that they're not really true as they're meant to sound. Now, a person, the unfortunate part about a person is that he has tremendous amount of energy. A person has a tremendous amount of energy for exciting endeavors. The energy's there. There's no question about it. And the desire's there. That's why when he's young, that's right, skydive, all these wild things. A lot of people look for these wild things. No, because the energy's there. The energy's there. The only thing is that the person has a hard time, has a very difficult time translating these exciting desires into real life. Because real life does not permit so much satisfaction. Doesn't allow so much satisfaction. There aren't that many satisfactions in life. And even these great adventurers, people who are adventurers, why are only so few people in the world adventurers? I mean, if that's the greatest pleasure, everybody should be running into it. The answer is because there's tremendous dangers involved, you know what I mean, which a person doesn't want to take. There's a tremendous amount of pain involved until you can get that thrill. So really, those people who go for those adventures are so few because they're the ones they're the rare ones, usually the fools, that have made the decision that this little excitement is worth all this pain, whereas most of mankind doesn't feel it's worth it. You see? So, of course, most people enjoy sitting back and watching this guy, climb a dangerous mountain, lose a few limbs, and usually that's more interesting. And because that reinforces the reason why he didn't do it. Otherwise, the problem is that a person is looking for a person needs something to absorb all this amount of energy that is seeking this tremendous satisfaction. And in the early part of life, a person really feels, hey, you know, why can't I satisfy? He doesn't know yet. He doesn't know the ropes yet. But then experience comes along and teaches him. That's why people say, well, you'll learn by experience. Usually it means something bad. I don't tell you that. Because it's really their own failure and frustration that they've experienced. You see? And hopefully they're hoping that you won't have any success either. Yeah. Well, I'm saying that's what people say that you should eternally be in that situation. I say that that's wrong. It's just the opposite. It's the opposite. That's what people say. Because people see older people and they look so dull, you know. So they say that you should really be youthful. You're right. Youthful is not really, that's ridiculous. Because that state of youthful state has a lot of tremendous ups and downs. It's a very painful state. But the thing is that people do not really look into what really will make a person happy. What constitutes happiness? They won't look at it in a rational way because their emotions have total control in that area. The emotions convince them. Anything the emotions get bumped, that's going to give me happiness. But they will not sit down and look at it in a rational way like they will any other thing in life. They won't be rational with regard to their souls. So what they look for is any fantasy of pleasure or enjoyment they grab onto. They see an old person walking down, can hardly move. They see a young guy already jumping. So they think, oh, I want to be like him. See? They don't really analyze it and look into it and see what's responsible for this state of mind. Is it really a pleasurable state of mind? You're right. That's what I said before. The person who's old is really better off than trying to run after the fantasies of youth. Because the old age state came from the fact that anyone that accepts experience realizes that he might as well give up. Because if you don't give up, the pain is too great. Constantly trying to attain satisfactions that you never get. A person is a fool not to concede. It's too much pain. But then you concede and look, life looks dull. They say, oh, you should be youthful. They don't really look into what's going on, you know what I mean? What they do is they run after any fantasy of pleasure. Because in a person's desperate search for pleasure and happiness, will grab onto anything because they're not successful. But of course, the Yadis maintains that there is really a way of life that is an exciting way of life, and that a person can always enjoy and a person can always have. But that route is not through the physical route. That route is through the adventures of the mind. Mind can have tremendous can go through tremendous areas adventurous areas, and there can be fantastic excitement. And a person can always really be successful at attaining this type of a life, this exciting life. But that life can only be attained through one method. That's through the intellect, through the mind. But physically, it's destined to failure. The person is constructed. The reason why a person has all this excess energy is only because he has a tool for which it was made. And that's to tell him all again, to appreciate Chokhmah. That's where the spirit, that's where adventure is, and that's where satisfaction is, and that's where the excitement is. The person who's a Chokhmah really doesn't lose that youthful excitement. On the contrary, we both start off the same way. We both are in search of an exciting life. But the person who goes after the physical finds after experience that he's going to he fails. It's not there. See? Since it's not there, so he's dull. But a person who finds Chokhmah, he finds on the contrary that things can be very exciting. Just as exciting and perhaps even more than he had imagined. You see? So that person retains the youth. That's the pasuk. What does the pasuk say? Oh, yinuvun b'seva. D'sheinin v'ra'anan en yiyot. Okay. What does it mean, oh, yinuvun b'seva? It means even when they're old, they're still youthful. D'sheinin v'ra'anan en yiyot. L'hagin ki yashra'ad Hashem. Tzuriv lav lasabo. What does it mean, tzuriv lav lasabo? It means like this. It means that if a person, when he gets old, reaches adult state, so it comes out that God is deficient because he's made a creature that doesn't really attain its satisfaction, reaches an old, decrepit age, and has an unhappy life. After all his trials, he finds that he has to recoil to a situation of a dulled existence. See? So then God is deficient if that's the case. He didn't create a good creature. No. The Ogenu and the Sefer shows you that the Chachamim really will attain this desire for satisfaction. And Lage Ki Yashar Hashem, Tzuriv Lav Lasabal, that God created man in a way that he really can have a perfected existence, and he can really enjoy life. Not tremendous enjoyment. But the root is the Chachma. That's the root. The other root will result in his failure. Yes.
What about
yes. You see? The problem, constantly wants to conquer is no good. Because constantly wants to conquer means, you see, as long as he has a desire to conquer, that means that he doesn't have enough. See, a person, there's another case, another flaw, I don't want to mention it, where what the world looks at as happiness, and they do not recognize the inherent contradiction. If a person, they will look at a person, a successful businessman as happiness. Being a happy person. Now what is, you list though, is the successful businessman happy to stay at the level that he is, or does he want to advance? He wants to advance. Oh, but if he wants to advance, then that means he's not happy in his present state, is he? So, well, if he's not happy in his present state, he's in a state of pain. So he's not in a state of satisfaction. So you want to be in a state of pain. That's what the result is. It's an inherent contradiction. It's an impossibility. If a person wants to advance, that means he's not happy with his present state. If he's not happy with his present state, you see, then he has to be unhappy. No, wrong. No. True. Maybe put it this way. You want to advance, and you're correctly wanting to advance. But you should not want to advance to an endless state of wanting to advance. That is wrong. That is crazy. In other words, a person should want to advance to a state where he doesn't want to, where he doesn't have to want to advance anymore. And that state is when the person reaches a state of perfection so far as he is concerned, and he naturally does the good, he just naturally does it. See? That's what... Exactly. That is a state. It's possible. If a person gains knowledge, he will find that there are certain criteria through which he could judge what the state is. It is possible. It is such a thing. Because we don't have an idea of an endless perfection. We have an idea. There is a concept of perfection where the soul works with a certain perfection. I mean, there's always little imperfections, but insofar as possible. But there is such a concept. And once a person reaches that state, he is in a perfected state. He's in a perfected state. And being in that state, he will have a very enjoyable life, an exciting life, and yet a life in which he doesn't have the desire to advance anymore because he's enjoying life per se. That really is happiness. A person who constantly wants to advance has the pain of the fact that he's not in the state that he really wants to be. And that's a big pain. See? The fallacy of the world's mentality, that the person is always, there's a man, an ambitious man, always moving ahead. That's the non-analytical individual. The person doesn't really, never really even thought for a moment into what the reality there might be here, you know? Just following his crazy fantasy, you know? Any illusion, following any illusion of happiness. Person is so desperate for happiness that any illusion of happiness will follow. Good morning, Sanhedrin. Good morning, Sanhedrin says that they took hold of the eights of the evil inclination of the eights of Hara, and they tied them up, and the whole world stopped. The world stopped. The whole world stopped. Gemara tells a story. Makes the illustration. Well, they couldn't find a fresh egg. Yeah. So what's the chat? It means that the fantasies and the instincts is what keeps things going. Because a person would listen to what his friend would tell him after he got married, you know what I mean? And said, look, they're all telling me that I'm a fool. Why should I do it? The answer is, the fantasy is so great that he gives himself one answer. If I knew, it'll be different. See? My fantasy is going to be different. The only thing is, if she asked the other guy if he also thought that same thing. But it doesn't matter, because the story will be different. If he thought the same way, you're right. And no matter how much experience he sees to the contrary, that illusion, he's going to maintain that illusion. Of course, in other areas in life, he wouldn't be that persistent. But in this, the reason, if he was going for a job, he wanted to be a lawyer, let's say, and the old lawyers told him, hey, don't do this, the lawyers told him, not really. Now he would quit right away. But over here, he's convinced. Not only does he think it's going to happen, not even doubtful about it, is it? Because he has to believe it. His whole life depends on it. And when a person has to believe something, no matter how far removed that possibility is, he's going to have to accept it. That's what the Gemara means. If a person would not be, if you tie up the Yetzer Hara, and he wouldn't have any fantasies anymore, so he'd listen to reality. Yeah, we would tell him, hey, what are you getting married for in the family? Look, these other people are doing it. How do they look? Take a look. Meet them in the morning when we go to work 7 o'clock. So you say, it's ridiculous. Why should I do it? So he'd just hang around till he dies. That'll be it. The end of the world. What? The question of the architect. Is an architect in your life? I mean, the answer is like this. That a person, I would say this, that the individual, a person's mind needs change. That's the nature. To go over the same idea again and again, a person gets bored. Now, it happens in society, no matter what profession you choose, people are paying you for a material good. So they are, and what they want, and what the way they're going to pay you for it is, I'm sorry, the way they're going to set up a society is that the most efficient way to set up a society is that you have people that constantly do the same thing, so they become better at the particular thing they do. Now, since that's the case, and since people will pay you for a physical good, that's what people pay you for. So each person has to become an expert in one area. Now what happens is, since that's the way it works, they're not going to pay a person to be an MD one day, and the next day he's going to be a dentist, and the next day he's going to be, it wouldn't work. A person would know a little of everything, a lot of nothing. So you have to have a person be an expert in a certain area. Now, expertise in an area requires, since it's a physical good that people are paying you for, what it requires is that this person should do the same thing again and again and again. Now, the human mind gets very tired when you repeat the same thing. So, insofar, the only time an architect enjoys himself is when he has a new challenge. But the average situation is where he does what he knows best. That's where they pay him for, that's what they pay him for, and that's where he makes the most money. Because if he's going to have to sit down and figure out totally new architectural concepts in every job, it's going to take him months. He makes his money when he has a plan and he knows what he's supposed to do. If you want an architect, and you come to him and say, I want you to build a house. Yes, I know that. I just did a house like that. He said, fine. Neil will say, look, I've never done that before in my life, and I'll sit down and think about it. Say, have a good day, sir. We'll go to somebody else. Right. You see? Now, and where the architect makes his money is when he does the same thing again, because it's very easy. He knows how to put the plans together. Now, since he's done it already countless times, and he's very efficient at it, what happens is that it's very boring, because he has to do the same thing again. The same plan, he's not going to get excited about it, the same thing again. So therefore, the only excitement there is so every profession, what happens really is, when a person chooses a profession, he's at a terrible disadvantage. Because how does he choose it? He's a young person, he's never done any of these things, and he looks around, he sees it, and he says, oh, I'd like to do that. Now, why would he like to do that? Right now, he'd love to do that. He'd love to be in a hospital now, being a doctor, you know, and having all the respect and the prestige and going into perform a very delicate operation. Sure, I'd love to do that. But put him there for 10 years, and you'll see how he'll like it. That's the difference. So the point is, the person makes a choice based on a nonsensical fantasy. Right now, he has a fantasy, he'd like to do that. Sure, I'd like to do that. How long would he like to do that for? The same thing, the grind, the tedious day-to-day grind. And it's boring. Every profession is boring. So therefore, of course, he's not convinced about it, because the only thing that convinces is the experience. But that's why there's no, you don't really find that people are walking around their professions very excited about what they're doing. So they're a little excitement. How many sore throats can you look at and get excited? You see, a businessman, the question is, what is the motivation of the businessman? The businessman's motivation is not to find new things. The business is to make money. So therefore, just a second. So therefore, what he's after is now the moment the man comes upon a situation where it is a money making situation, he has to jump for it. Now, the situation is not the quality that attracts him to the situation is not the quality of novelty. It's the quality of making money that attracts him to the situation. Now, therefore, he's not going to be involved in very many novel type of experiences. What he's going to be involved in essentially is money making experiences. Of course, when he runs out of that, he's going to have to start thinking of things. But that's only as a secondary thing. We're talking about an intellectual life where the mind is constantly in pursuit of new ideas. What the mind is pursuing is an endless chain of new ideas. Not where that's only where that is found to the greatest degree in the area of thought per se. See, in the area of thought per se, that's found to the greatest degree. Now, an inventor, I would say, certainly has more. There are different levels. There's no question about it. The person is gifted with the ability for invention. Yeah, but even in invention, the person can't move into different spheres. And the person, he's limited. He has to work out some type of an object. Now, he knows basically how these things work. These things aren't new, but maybe a little change over here, a little different gadget. I mean, Thomas Edison, he works out a new thing over here, a little change over here. Fine, but do you realize the hours, do you know how many hours are spent in invention? How many hours Edison spent days and weeks and months just working? You ever see what an inventor goes through? He spent a year one time on one thing, trying to find the right wire. Yeah. This wire, yeah. Leave it there for 10 days, boom, comes in a minute. Didn't look too exciting to me when I saw what the type of life he lived. Very boring. There's one spark. There's one spark of thought. How can you compare the... Once you have to translate it into the physical, you see. Once you have to translate it into the physical, that has to be boring. The physical is boring and painful. Because the physical has certain demands. You have to try this, try that. If a person is not involved in the physical, his mind just keeps going on. You have the idea ready. Now keep going on. You go in different areas. And how many areas are there? Physics, mathematics, philosophy, metaphysics, countless areas. Countless areas. One of the Rishonim, I forgot what it was. A high guy, one of them, told his son, he says, the Torah is like a paradise. So the person is learning a piece of Gemara, he says, the pride of Gemara. Take this chumash. You have Mishle, you have Kehelet, you have Navi, you have so many halacha, so many areas, it's impossible to tire. And every area is a new adventure of the mind. The moment you translate it into the physical, you're heading for hours of boredom, because you just have to work this thing out in a physical way, and it just is a tedious thing. Then the adventure is gone. Okay? It's true, so at least an inventor had a thought. But you take Thomas Edison's whole life. How long do you think it would take to summarize the ideas that he went through in his inventions? I guarantee you it wouldn't take too long. They would go through all the ideas. He doesn't have the best method. So that's the only problem. You said the man has the best method. So, and you said simultaneously that the person who has this best method is going to teach the same way every day. Right? That is not the best method. The person who really has the best method is a person who could take an area. You take an area of Gemara. What it is it's an adventure in thought. That is the best method. Which means you take the facts and you let the facts talk to you. And you analyze this possibility, that possibility. Anyone that comes in and gives a fixed shiur is not the best, not a good Rebbe. The nature of learning is that learning is an adventure. Anyone that comes in, I'll tell you the truth, if a person's a good Rebbe, usually you'll find he'll prepare a shiur for hours and he'll come and he'll give a totally different shiur. That's as soon as he starts the shiur, he says, just a second, this thing doesn't work out. Well, then he's going, the nature of the learning experience, by definition, the real learning experience is an open system, an area where everything is open and everything is possible. And the Talmidim, you use the Talmidim, you see, the Talmidim themselves become a part of his learning. The Talmidim present possibilities, and your mind starts working in different ways. And a person has to have a free mind. The only thing is that it's a very insecure situation. That I agree with you. It's an insecure situation because you never really know what's going to happen in thought. Anything can happen. You can come and set one way or come and totally different. See? That's the only thing. If a person is interested in truth and searching for truth, he doesn't care about that. Once he's forfeited that false type of happiness, that illusion of happiness, then he could really enjoy the adventure. Because the definition of learning is adventure. That's why your question isn't... Chazal broke it up. Chazal broke it up. You're allowed to take money, but Torah Shebiksav. And you're teaching young kids, you're allowed to take money for. But Torah Shebapeh, you're not allowed to take any money for. Torah Shebapeh is a totally different type of thing. What? It's no, because Torah Shebapeh is the experience, the intellectual experience of Torah Shebapeh. You're not allowed to take money. You're not allowed to take money for the intellectual experience. That's because that would be that you're saying that this is a means for money, which is greater, which is a corruption of the notion of the experience of Chokhma. See, but teaching Torah Shebiksav, I'm allowed to get paid for it, because that's right. That's not the intellectual experience. Here, just a second. We're talking. I mentioned this many times. When you learn Pirkei Avos, so when you learn ethics, a person has to be willing to contemplate what the ultimate is, even though he might not at this point be at the ultimate. Now we can't jump into the ultimate situation, but it should not prevent us from seeing what the ultimate is, because perfection comes about through studying what the ultimate is. So I'm not saying that anybody here should leave the class and throw away his business. That would be ridiculous. I'm saying you should leave your mind open to study and knowledge, and it should be a natural thing that as a person keeps studying and gaining knowledge, you will change. You will change naturally. You will change. Just keep on what? And he should know what he's doing now, right? It's not what he's doing now. But we shouldn't be afraid to understand something that's not in line with our own perfection. Okay. All right. So you're going to two considerations a person should have in choosing a parnasa. Two considerations. One thing is, he should not look to do something that is pleasurable for him. So that's number one. Now, he should not look for something that's pleasurable. That's an illusion. What he should do is like this. He should try to find something that is not distasteful for him. In other words, he doesn't have anything in his nature that just can't tolerate this, because that would be pain. In other words, there's certain things that a person can't do. I mean, this person just cannot tolerate it. He should avoid anything like that. Usually it means his father's business. Now, second consideration is that a person should try to choose something that will earn him the greatest return for the smallest amount of time. You see? The greatest return for the smallest amount of time, so that he could be free to spend most of his time, you see, in the pursuit of knowledge and where he really, really enjoy himself. That's what I say. Those are the two criteria, prestige and profession. But he should not get caught up in the illusion that he's going to enjoy the profession, because that's not going to, it's not going to happen. Listen, a person can have 4 hours a day that he is not achieving happiness. If he could think that he has eight more hours, he's going to really enjoy himself, he'll be a very happy person. I'll tell you something else. If a person knew he had 3 hours a day, he was going to enjoy himself, he'd be very happy. Very happy. If a person knew he had 3 hours a day, he would really enjoy himself, he'd be a very happy person. Exactly. People run for a few minutes.
Just to add a little bit more definition, a person will always attach his idea of the good to that thing which gives him the best pleasure at the time, or thinks gives him the best pleasure at the time. That's the thing which he will define as the good, and which will become identified with the good. Okay.
May 1st, 1983, Pirkei Avos. We're going further than the Rabbeinu Yonah. It's on the Yud Dalet. Okay. Now I say like this: a lot of time before the resignation sets in. Once the resignation sets in, it becomes attached emotionally to that. It's very difficult to break it. Very difficult to break it. The object with the happiness. When a person is young, he's searching. He's free, so he doesn't know. He hasn't yet given the objects and the happiness an identification. But later he does. Okay. Separate. He can't really separate it. Sure. It says less pshat. He says, "Va'od." Another reason why it says that. Another pshat in Imlach Shavei Masai. He says, "Ki atshuva b'mei zikna ain't atshuva shlema." Because when a person does tshuva when he's older, it's not real tshuva. Ki ba'osa zman ain't a yetzer chozak va'taiva nekia v'lo te'orev l'nefesh v'ain't lo chayfetz ba'anoes averus. Interesting, Rabbeinu Yonah. When a person gets older, he says that the evil inclination is not strong, the taiva isn't as strong as it was in his early youth. V'lo te'orev l'nefesh, it's not as sweet to the soul. The pleasures lose their sharpness, their edge, their sensitivity. When a person is young, the pleasures are sensitive to every little aspect of the pleasure. It really gives him, it thrills him. Enjoys it. Gets older, becomes dull, and he can't have the same enjoyment that he did when he was younger. Okay? Vein lo chayfetz ba'anoyas averus. He really doesn't care so much. When he gets very old, he doesn't have any desire for the pleasures. See, that's what Aristotle said, that youth is the mark of youth is searching for pleasure. The mark of old age is avoidance of pain. Utility, says the mark of old age. Utility is like basically avoidance of pain, just functional. That's what old people desire. Okay, now so yes. He says, V'zuhi asibo a love l'tshuva. And this is the reason why the person does tshuva. Okay? V'al inyin zeh ne'emar. And on this, the pasuk says in Koheles, remember God in your youthful days. Before the bad days come. And years come that you will say, I have no desire in them. See, this is basically what happens to people. A person is young and his body is healthy and he can enjoy the taivas, so he has an outlet for his energy. So he enjoys life. He gets older, the taivas lose their edge and their sharpness, and he gets really older. I mean, he can't really engage in the taivas anymore. So what happens is, he becomes, his whole personality changes. Okay? He becomes morbid. Just He doesn't kill himself, but he's living really because he's living because he can't kill himself. So he has to keep on going, but there's no enjoyment in life. It's not enough that there's no enjoyment in life. The need for enjoyment is still there. See, a person's psyche never ages. The need for enjoyment doesn't wane. So what happens is a certain incongruity, because the physical pleasures and the ability to enjoy the pleasures diminishes. But the psychic energy that needs to be satisfied, that is looking for satisfaction, doesn't diminish. As you can see, even an older person, he will certain things he'll enjoy just as much as a young person. Emotional areas, give him honor, he'll enjoy just as much as a young person. So you see that the energy is there. The only thing is that the outlet has been stopped up. So he can't be, he reaches days. That's what the pasuk says.
You just said that the psyche changes.
It is, the person becomes in a state of, you might describe depression. You see? Depressed. Many old people become very depressed. But, what does basically depression mean? Depression means, see, a cow is never depressed. Because a cow has nothing to do, but it doesn't have the need to. Depression is where energy is seeking satisfaction. There's no satisfaction. Depression sets in. Okay. So that's why all the people, that's why the halacha really is that you can't put a zaken muflag on the best. It's halacha. You can't put, no matter how great a chacham he might be, maybe the greatest chacham adar, he cannot sit on the best. Chacham muflag. Why? Because the Gemara says that very old people are vicious. Vicious. Okay. Why do they get vicious? Because of the dissatisfactions with life. Interesting thing. Allah can't differentiate. Allah can't differentiate. Allah, you have to have a general rule. Of course, it's not speaking about a zaki mufla. Zaki mufla. Can't even tolerate any type of emotion of viciousness, even a slight form. So you know he might be a great Talmud Chacham, but the fact is that according to the ways of nature, now he is another halacha. Halacha is, for instance, a person doesn't have any children can't be in the bezin either, because he hasn't learned Rachmanis. Rachmanis is learned from the identification with other people, and the bridge to the identification is children. Okay? Sigmund Freud said that in this century. So halacha. It's an old halacha. That's Allah on the Sanhedrin. But you see that this is even by a chacham to a degree, you know, I mean, there's a certain amount, I mean, a person can't avoid. Not every chacham, but the halach has to be across the board. But at any rate, the reason is because of the Yemei Hara and the Yigiyu Shonam HaShatoma Emli Bahem Chayfetz. The problem is, though, that so a young person, really, a young person doesn't realize what's in store for him, because he feels that life will just continue. This is a way a person fools himself, and he feels that life will just continue the way it is. He doesn't realize how dependent his psyche is on a constant source of enjoyment. That's another thing. The person doesn't realize that. The person feels that, when I get older, I'll sit back, I'll think about what a good life I had. Doesn't realize that it doesn't work that way. That person's energy is in constant need of satisfaction. And when a person gets to a state where even for a few hours, a day, he can be miserable. He can't. All the pleasures he had in the past don't help him. You see? Can't stock up. Something which is the machinery works in a certain way. And the only time a person will be happy is when it's functioning in that manner. You stop the function, that's it. Happiness is stopped. Okay. Thinking about this Rabbeinu Yonah is that one would think on the contrary. What do you mean? That a person should do tshuva when he's young and not wait till he gets old and he reaches the days where he doesn't have any pleasures, you know? That's the best time to do tshuva. What could be a better tshuva than recognition of the fact that the pleasures are failing? That's the best time. First, we ask you, how do you get somebody to do tshuva? So you get somebody to do tshuva by showing them the pleasures are no good. Right? That's what I say. So these pleasures are no good, so you should definitely go after the good, the real good. Right? So what could be a better way of showing a person that will go after the real good? They should go after the real good. Then by actually having him experience through life that these pleasures are failing. That should give him the strongest conviction that these pleasures are not the good and that the real good is something else. So then he'll go to... that should be the time when he goes to Torah. That should be the best tshuva possible. Every Musash Mos is based on that. Tivers are no good, this and that. You know. So you see... that the that's the best way. You tell a person, look, what's going to happen to you when you get older? You know what I mean? You scare them a little bit, and hopefully it works. See? At least temporarily. You might need another injection the next day. But the have some effect. That seems to be the best way. So this is the perfect way to do tshuva. As a matter of fact, I think that there's a common fantasy that people have. That they will, since the taiva is so powerful, and they realize many times that they're not living properly, they think I'll do tshuva when I get older. When I get older, I'll do tshuva. Why do they think that way? Because they feel at that time the taivas won't be so powerful, and that'll be the good time to be a philosopher. As a matter of fact, the Plato, I think, mentions that idea. He says that people think. No, about that. He says people think that in youth you should be an adventurer. See, you should live a life of pleasures and enjoyments, and that's the youth. And you get older, you become a philosopher. That's time to be a philosopher. Because that's you can't enjoy life anyways anymore, physically. That's the time to become a great thinker and enjoy the honor of thought. Okay. You see, old age, people like to have in their old age have the image of being a great thinker. Guy in his old age is not going to want the image of being a football star. I mean, it's incongruous. See? Now he's the great thinker. So you have to know, at different times of life, you have to be different people. It's a reference. Basically, you would not recommend Musa Shmosa, though, according to what you're saying. Isn't that true? And because really, what is a Musa Shmosa? Basically, Musa Shmosa is that you tell a person that the taivas are no good. You tell a person the taivas are no good for some reason, and therefore you tell them to involve themselves in Torah. Isn't that true? I mean, isn't that basically the structure? So, you show them where... It is a tshuva. It is a tshuva. Because the Rambam has that tshuva. The Rambam has that tshuva. The Rambam says that if a person does tshuva, personally, yes. Vimlo shav ela b'mei ziknuso uba'eis she'ef shelo lasos mashoyo osa afo pishen etshuva ma'ulo ma'elasilo bal tshuva. So Moshe Shmos is basically an attempt to bring you into that situation. That's what it is, an attempt to bring you into the situation, to the old age situation before your time, in a temporary way. So you should visualize it, and then you should do tshuva. So the Rambam says it is considered tshuva, but he says that is not really the best. I understand. So you're saying because it's refuge. Your refuge is not really the true thing. Because the only reason why he's... And he says it, Rabbeinu Yonah says it. Seems to say what you're saying. Because as he says, V'zui asiba I love l'tshuva. That's the reason why he's doing tshuva. The reason why he's doing tshuva is because he lost his cheshek. He lost the taivas. So he seems to be saying that reason. That's why it's not good, because that is the reason why, the only reason he's involving himself in the good is because he's lost the tithes. But not because he really thinks that this is the good. Right? Remarkable thing about this statement is still something remarkable there. As much as you say all these things, there's one thing. What is the point over here that really is... something that's unexpected here. All of Shatan, there's something that's very novel here that the person wouldn't ordinarily think is so. What is it? What is unusual about the Rambam's formulation? It's the formulation of the Pasuk and Rabbeinu Yonasan. What is it interesting about the Pasuk? What would you change in that formulation if you could write it yourself? It's just like this. The im lo shav ela be'eis ziknuso. You see? Umipnei she'ief shelo lasos mashayosa. Afal pisha ain't a tshuva me'ula melasol. The Rambam says, im lo shav ela be'eis ziknuso ube'eis. That would be the right way to formulate it, right? That the reason is he's the only doing it because he can't do it anymore. Ram doesn't say that. Ram says ubeis sheef shelo lasos. See, and that's what he says also. Zechor es borecha. Right? Okay? So the Pasuk says that you must do tshuva when? Literal pshat, what? When you're young. But if b'mei hazikna, it's too late. See? That is what's difficult to understand. Why is it? According to the Pasuk and according to the Rambam is an interesting thing I think most people aren't aware of. Most people, when they learn the Pshat and the Rambam and the Pasuk, they feel that, yeah, that's not the best Shiva. Why is it not the best Shiva? Because he didn't do Shiva for the best reasons. Okay? It's some type of perfection, not clear what it is, or whatever, but some type, but not the greatest. But if you take the Pasuk and the Rambam, or it's formulated literally, what the Rambam is telling you and the Pasuk is telling you an interesting thing. That once you reach that age, it's too late. Regardless of what kind of intentions he has. Even if he has the best intentions, and he does tshuva, he recognizes that the taivas are failing him, and then he comes to the recognition that really the ultimate good is a much greater good than these taivas, and he turns to that good, we say it's still no good. It's still not as good as a it's not a tshuva mola. Why should that be? Mashayosa. Once he reaches a time when it's ef shelo lasos, no matter, the Ram doesn't even talk about what the conviction, why he does it. He could have the noblest intentions, the highest possible true evaluation of the good life. Still is not the same. It's too late. Once he physically reaches the state where he's decrepit, he's physically decrepit, that's it. Cannot do a tshuva mu'ula anymore. Is that the implication of the Rambam? Why? That's what I have to understand. Why is that so? You must do tshuva before that time. It's too late. See? People think that, it's better to do tshuva now. It's better, but they don't realize that there's a deadline. That there's a deadline on tshuva. The deadline is as long as you have the taivas. That's as long as you can do tshuva. So there is no really easy way of there's no easy way of perfection. It's not going to get any easier. You think to yourself that look, now I'm a young guy, I have a lot of tithes, I'll be from later in life. See, that idea is false, because insofar as you will not have so many tithes later, that's how much your tshuva will be lacking. Price, if Pesach always works out precisely that way. It's Lefum Taira Taiva Agra. That's the way it works. So yeah, that's true. So it would seem that there's a qualitative change to be Bimei Hazikna. Once he reaches Meir Zikna, the Meir Zikna is a different thing already. It's true that it will last more. Doesn't seem to make too much of a... the highest. That's what the Rambam says. That's right. About a person who just says, look, I can't have the tithes now, I'm an old man, I might as well sit and learn. I might as well go into the base medrash and chumash. I'm talking about a person like that. That's hardly even a tshuva. I'm talking about a person who, because the tithes he's been disappointed by the tithes and he's broken down, now this person really comes to the true recognition of what the real value in life is. And nevertheless, it's not considered a good tshuva. We're not talking about a person sour grapes. Sour grapes is not tshuva. You know? We're talking about a person who really sincerely does tshuva. The Rambam doesn't say that there's something lacking in his conviction. It just says, as long as once you reach the time, what's Eisek Nisa, that's it. It's too late. You see? We're speaking about even the ideal state of tshuva in old age is not the best, which means that the person sees the tithes are failing, and now he reflects and he sees, you know, something, the tithes in general are not enjoyable. That's real tshuva. That's real tshuva. Well, you're saying not tshuva. So he has to come to recognition that the real thing in life, the real benefit in life, is the true idea. It's chachma, right? Isn't it true? Let's even ask further. Isn't it true that a person should embrace the good life because he recognizes that the taivas are not the good? And isn't it true that part of the recognition of the fact that taivas are not the good is through recognizing that they're frustrated? Right? Yeah, no, mentally. Yeah, yeah. That this is not the good for man. Doesn't mean not the good for man means that this will not make him happy. So, now if he experiences this, can't make it worse, should be better. Exactly. That's the whole idea of tshuva. So why old age is the perfect time where the man sees precisely what everybody's been trying to tell him. That these times are not really the good, you see. So what's wrong? That's the time that you should come to the true recognition. The first thing you have to say is this, that there's a certain relationship in this life between our physical well-being and our soul. That's one premise, you must say. In other words, that a person is a soul which is abstract, see, an eternal essence the person has within him, but that eternal essence, its function is totally dependent in this life upon the physical. Because you see, a man, no matter how intelligent the thinker a person is, and if you hit him over the head with a rock, he's not going to be able to think anymore. So the soul can, now if we say that when a person is thinking, that his soul is perceiving the ideas, so we see obviously that it's dependent upon a physical situation. That in this life, the function of the soul is tied to the physical. So if a person is sick, so then the soul can, even though the soul isn't sick, but the physical limitation prevents the soul from experiencing certain things. Okay? That's what you have to premise. That's what you have to premise. Now, we say like this, that since that is the case, it turns out that when does the soul really function to its utmost? When his physical is in the best state. So that's really when the soul functions best, right? When a person's sick, so the soul isn't functioning as well, because there's any physical limitation will be a limitation on the soul itself, because the soul is totally dependent upon the physical in this world. Okay. Especially, I'm speaking specifically with regard to his energy system. That's the main area. A person loses a finger, loses a hand, it doesn't make any difference. But it could, depending on the individual. If the person's upset about it, so a lot of energy is going to be going to that area. He's going to be losing his energy. Basically, it's dependent upon the energy system that his psyche is operating with. Okay? Now, so things like this. That in order to have the good, it's not enough that we say the person would do the good. Sorry. The good means that the soul must actually be related to the good. So the soul must experience the good. Right? Now, what happens if once the energy sources are depleted and the soul cannot function as it once was able to? So this soul, while if the good were here, it certainly would accept the good, but the fact is that it cannot experience it. It's limited. It cannot experience it because it's not functioning to its fullest capacity. So therefore, this person, once the person has reached Yimei HaZikna, the soul can simply not experience the good. So there is no real experiencing of the good. And since this soul cannot partake of the good, so it cannot be placed on the same level as a soul that really has partaken of the good. The difference between the Tshuva Me'ula and the Tshuva She'ena Me'ula is precisely in that the Tshuva Me'ula means where the person's soul has actually partaken and experienced, has embraced the good. So if it's experienced and embraced the good, then the good is related to it. Right? And then it's changed. Then the good is really a part of it. However, if the person in old age, where the soul doesn't really function properly, embraces the good, then it's incomplete because simply the soul has never really. The important thing is that the soul should experience the good. And that the good should be, it's not that he would be a good boy. I mean, it's not a matter of he's a nice fella. You know what I mean? There's a certain experiencing here that must be, that's otherwise we wouldn't have to live all together. What's the whole purpose of life? God knows exactly what's going to happen. So the soul has to experience the good, has to embrace the good. When the soul experiences the good, that's when it perfects itself. That's the perfection. Now, in old age, the soul can't function on the same level because of the limitations of the physical. So therefore, while it is a tshuva, it certainly is a perfection that the man now recognizes the good. But it's not the same as being able to experience the good. So that's why the pasuk says, "Zechor es borecho bimei bechurasecho." That's why it runs with two categories. Exactly. Who aimed bekeicha it rounds the loss of nature, loss of pish loss of lo me yira velo me kishlon koach. Kate the ratio ba lisha ba vera lachas manashachin malu who aimed ba vaso ba bekoach gufo. The same strength. All if once that strength is diminished, then the function of the soul has also been diminished, and since the function of the soul is diminished. In old age is not a time for a person to perfect the soul. Because in old age, the soul can't function properly. Just like the body doesn't function properly in old age, and nobody would attempt to become a football star when they reach 60, see? The same thing, similar thing, not as much, because perfection by nature doesn't require such a thing. But the fact is that it is similar. That in the same way, when the person reaches old age, that's not the time really for true perfection, because he doesn't have the strength, and he can't really embrace the good with the energies, with all the energy that's necessary. And since the soul is dependent in this existence on the physical energies, so when the energy system is depleted, the soul can't function. The soul's function is restricted as well. Perfection is to do averus. What it means is, perfection means that the energies must be directed towards the good. Now, either it was initially directed towards the good, in which case it doesn't need to do tshuva, or else
If it was directed towards the bad, he has to reroute it towards the good. But the only way that, the only time that he could reach to perfection is only in youth. See, when the energy system is at its peak. A person does tshuva in youth, the soul is perfected. So even though in old age, the function of the soul becomes limited, it's only a temporary limitation until he dies, when the function of the soul is not dependent upon the body anymore. See, but the soul doesn't lose its perfection. Soul does not lose its perfection, even though it can't function. That's what I told one time. I said, the Chazal even maintained that psychological problems do not necessarily diminish the perfection of the soul. Sometimes it might impede the function. Because you see that the Machlokes of Biechner are sluggish. Biechner went crazy. So Chazal Mespala, he should die. And he was Nifter. That was it. Doesn't say, nobody says that Biechner wasn't a Biechner. They lost his stature. See? If something came along, affect him psychologically, he couldn't function. That's it. But the perfection was there. So the thing is that in youth, if a person has the perfection in youth, then the perfection will continue, even though he can't function at a great degree, but he'll have that perfection. Right? The person's perfected and he's sick. So does that mean that the moment he gets sick, he's not perfected anymore? The point is, intellectually, it's true that a person's mind is the most lasting part of his nature. Great thinkers are even great thinkers in their 70s. Right? There's not that much difference, really. You lose some of the creativity sometimes, though you get older, it's not exactly the same, but they can maintain, proportionally to any other part of the body, the difference is unbelievable. Because the mind can retain the tremendous amount. It's true. But here we're talking about more than just mind, you see, more than just intellect. We're talking perfection means what the prime mover of the soul is. That we discussed on Friday. Right. What the prime mover of the soul is. You should really make reference to the tape on Kedoshim. Because that's where we discuss the prime mover. Now, I mean, this is an important thing here. What the prime mover of the soul is. This is what perfection lies in, what the prime mover of the soul is, not in his intellectual ability. A person can be a great mathematician at 70, but the question is, what is really his soul after? What are the desires of the soul? That's where perfection is.
Yeah, but you see,
you said before that a person's psyche still is in need of pleasure, satisfaction. That is true, but not to the same degree. It's not the same degree. It does a person's physical state. Person's physical state. I said why people are unhappy. They're unhappy. It's true because even though physically they wear down, they don't wear down proportionately psychologically. But there is because of the fact that a person doesn't. If a person's sick, you'll see. His energy system is diminished. He can't function as well. Even if a person's ill, a person has a sick with a cold, his energy system has changed. Right? But even then, why is he unhappy when he's sick? Because even though his energy system has changed, but not to the same degree, still the desires for satisfaction haven't been reduced proportionally. It's true. But the fact remains that a person who's sick or old and decrepit does not have the same energy system as when he was younger. There is a change. Eta das tovara means that there's a category set up in the mind of what the good is. And this category reflects a certain object or group of things. Certain type of activity which he considers the good. And that's since Adam made from the Eitz Das Tovara, that category was established in his mind. And every person, the difference between a Rosh and a Tzaddik is what registers in that category. Before Adam originated from the Eitz Das Tovara, there was no need for that. So the Rambam explains, he just naturally did the good. There's no need to set up this category. It was a natural thing without reflection. people see this, really? Why don't most people think of it this way? The reason is because most people do not see perfection in a realistic way. They see it in an ethical way. In other words, an ethical way means the man is a good man. See? That's what perfection is. To be good. So what difference does this poor old man who finally recognizes that, you know, on the contrary, your feelings are more in line with him, that he should be the one who's a great tzaddik, right? But yeah, this looks at perfection in a realistic way. And in a realistic way, unfortunately, you can't really partake of the good to the highest degree. It's a different type of thing. Okay? You want to look at the good. He's a good man now. He won't do evil. Yeah, sure, on the contrary, the old man, he's definitely won't do evil. Can't? No, he won't, because no, on the contrary, he's the one who really recognizes, you think that would be emotionally, you'd feel that would be the best tshuva. But if you look at it in a realistic way, you see that's not true. Because the person has lost the whole strength of his psychological energies. Not at his disposal anymore. And his soul cannot function and attach itself to the good like it could when he was younger. So the time for tshuva is youth. That's the pasuk. What? Is equality. Big difference. It's the attachment. The good is a positive thing, which is an attachment to a certain entity. It's positive. So, in terms of negative, they're both the same. So that youth over here doesn't mean until 30. I mean, youth means. It says actually yavo yimei ara means when he gets old, physically old and decrepit. I don't know, 60s. I mean, not really. Depends on the person. The youth over here, the mei bechura secha, the younger, the more the energy, the greater the energies are, the greater perfection. But it's an extended youth. It's an extended youth. Before it becomes, and it depends, it's an individual thing also, it depends on the person. Two directions, because it takes time to gain knowledge. As you're gaining knowledge, you're losing your energies. But basically, there's a large span of time there where you can't have the knowledge and the energy still. I mean, it's, like I say, it doesn't mean when the guy's 30 years old that he's the end of it. As long as he has his physically, of course, the best, the younger, the better, because there is a certain loss. There is a certain loss over the years, no question about that. And if he does shoot when he's 20, it's definitely better than when he's 30 or 40. But the qualitative line is old age. Old age, the state of old age is where Yemei HaZikna is where already it becomes, it's forfeited. It's impossible to really to get the ultimate tshuva. Of youth, it's true. There is a reduction. I mean, a person even with a tomahawk can't learn with the same vigor and energy they do when he's younger. That's a fact. In the pasuk, there's a chorus barachah the mebuchor secho arasher lo yavo yemei hara v'giu shonim asher tomar ein li b'hem chayfetz, which means the pshat is that a person should remember God. See, when he's young, so that he shouldn't reach a situation where he comes to the years when he says that his life has no, he doesn't want to live anymore. He doesn't want, old age, he doesn't want to live anymore. It's an interesting thing. What Shlomo Melech is saying really is that most people, when they reach that age or that state, they really choose to die. Even though, of course, if you attempt to kill them, they'd be frightened. That's just an instinctual reaction, because he has the instinct of survival. That's why he wouldn't kill himself, because he has a powerful instinct of survival. But basically, he would rather be dead. He'd rather be dead. The Yigia Shanim Ashatoma Inli Bem Chepetz. It says, Oz Yigia Ashanim Ashatoma Inli Bem Chepetz V'Rotzen Kini Godel HaChulshus. Because of the weakness, Yivcharaz B'Misa. He would rather be dead. So, I would say pshat in the puzzle like this, that if a person perfects himself before, then he won't reach that state. That's what the puzzle is saying. Because, since he is perfected, you see, so even though the physical have the enjoyment of the physical, but he has other enjoyments which would allow him to enjoy life. So he won't reach, he'll never reach that state where he'll say that he gives shonim she'en li bam chefetz. You understand what I mean? What Chazal is saying is that even if he does, see, the problem of the pasuk is that, so why can't he do tshuva then? So the Chazal say even if he does tshuva then, it's not the same level. But the plain shot in the pasuk is that if a person doesn't make the effort in his youth, to when he has the strength, if he doesn't make the effort when he has the strength to really see and embrace the good, when he gets older, he's not going to be able to do it. So what's going to happen is he's going to reach a time of life where he's going to say that there is no, it's not worth living. However, if a person when he's young and he has the strength and the ability to do tshuva, and he recognizes, he learns what the good is, at that time, then he'll never reach that state. Because he'll never be, he'll never have a time where he has no satisfactions. Because the satisfactions of the good are not dependent upon the physical. You see, like the satisfactions of, like the other, like the physical pleasures. So therefore, even though his physical pleasures diminish, he still will have enjoyment, and he still have satisfaction. That's the pasuk of Ayinuvim Beseva, Veshenim Varananim Yiyu. Right? That if the person embraces the good, then even when he gets older, he still can partake of that, and he still has satisfaction. That's the plain shot in the pasuk. But Chazal say, you see by implication that ad shelo yavo yemei arov, yigishan shetalim b'chavis, that as if it's a deadline, and maybe he does tshuva. No, it's not the same. But the plain shot in the pasuk is that the zechoras borechad mebechorasechon means that any real change that a person wants to undertake, if he wants to become a great athlete, or he wants to be a great writer, or whatever it is, whatever the person wants to do in life, any major accomplishment requires the vigor and energies of youth, and it cannot be done by a person in his old age. So while most of the world choose to use their youthful energies for a certain specific goal, say, like to become a great athlete or a great politician, whatever it might be, they have to use their energies in that direction, great businessman, see? So the real Chacham uses his youthful energies to become the perfected individual. That's what the pasuk means. And then you will avoid the situation of the reaching the years where you say Ein li ben cheshek. Because if your life depends upon the physical, then you have to reach that state. That state is inevitable. Those days must come. And as the physical diminishes, the person's satisfactions have to diminish, and he has to say Ein li ben cheshek. I have no desire for this type of life. It's worthless for me. But if a person has perfected himself, you see, then he will never reach that state. Because even though there's a reduction, but still those things which he really values, he can still partake of. And that's why you see that Chachomim, the Gemara says that Rishoyim Kishahim Maskinim Daitam et Terefas Avayim. That the wicked, the older they get, they become more nervous. And Tzadikim Kishahim Maskinim Daitam Yeshevas Avayim. Contrary, they become more calm. Because see, the satisfactions are still available to them, and their convictions become more firmly rooted by experience. What? Shot in the pasuk. Basic shot in the pasuk is that a person should, any major overhaul has to be done with in youth. Can't do it when you're older. Shot. I mean, it's really part of shot of what we're saying. It's not. In other words, that a person when he's young, he could make the change, and he can attach his energies to the good. That's the time when he can do it. Older, he can't really accomplish that. It's impossible. It's a deadline for tshuva. This maima removes the fantasy of postponing tshuva. He's referring to those who maintain that man has no bechira. The Rambam is referring. That's his reference. And those who maintain that the stars are responsible for my state of perfection or imperfection. It's astrologist. The Ram says this has been proven as false, and that's why he says Amein Anili Mili, which means that the individual is has Bechira. The individual has Bechira. I want you to know the Rambam does not deal with the problem of free will that the philosophers discuss. Different problem. The free will that the philosophers discuss is whether a person is programmed from birth by an internal mechanism. The Rambam was discussing the fact that man is not determined by an external system. See, that's what the Rambam was discussing. What? But the Rambam is saying, all the Rambam is saying is that his state is not determined by an external force. That's what the Rambam is referring to. So that's why it says, Amein Anili Mili. So the only thing that can be determined is from within myself. That is the ultimate determinant. Okay? And then he says, then he would say to himself, when I am myself, more ani. So I'm really, how much did I accomplish? He would consider himself as accomplishing very little. I'm still not perfected. And even though I did what I wanted, what I had in mind to do, I still lack in perfection. So you still lack in perfection? Even though you did what you were supposed to, so you don't lack in perfection anymore. He mentioned the idea that Rabbeinu Yonah says. He expands a little bit on that. But what is the connection between the two statements? Amein Anili Mili, Kshani Laskei Mai. What is the connection? The person shouldn't be a Bhagavad, shouldn't think he's so great. That's a separate idea. What does that have to do with Amein Anili Mili? There has to be some tie-in over here. Between the two. Well, Amein Anili means everything's up to you. Right. Second statement is now that it's up to you, you're nothing. So you didn't reach your I shouldn't say nothing, but you didn't reach your ultimate situation that you thought you'd reach. Now what is that? It's a different idea. It's a different idea altogether. What's the connection? What's the relationship between these two ideas? I'm not perfected. It has nothing to do with the fact that it's up to me. If it was up to somebody else. So I should also say I'm still not perfected.
Yeah.
You're right. I think you're on the right track. But I think we have to make a little change of it. The thing is like this. Amein Anili Mili means it's all up to me. Right? So if it's up to me, so on the contrary, why should I say Kishane lost me more? Contrary, it's up to me. I did a great job. Right? Sometimes you meet people in business that they are very proud to tell you that they did it. They usually minimize the situation I was responsible for. They did it themselves, see? And they agree with. But if Shani lots me money, oh no, it's just the opposite. Shani lots me. That's the greatness, you see? I mean, people tend to try to distort these things. So what is the... logically is what I'm supposed to do at this point. And once I did that, then I accomplished what I was supposed to, and I should be very happy about it. Why should I go around saying that I didn't do anything? Really means if there's nobody if nobody else is going to help me, right? If I'm not, so I have to be for myself. And when I do it myself, then mo'ani, you want to say, means that I shouldn't really think I'm great just because I did it myself. You're saying it shut, but I sense there's something a little bit deeper over here under the surface. That let me see if I can work out another shot here. So things like this. I think that what he's hitting at is this: that a person, you'll notice, a person in life will likes to feel that somehow or other his life is guided by many forces. Most people in life feel that their life is guided by many forces. When he says "Amen anili mili," that's true. But the fact is that there's something that prevents people from feeling that way. See, people feel that there's some guiding force. That's there's an emotion that makes a person feel that there's some guiding force just working out my life for me in every detail, and everything's being worked out perfectly, and everything's for a reason. That's why it says Basheret and this. There are many forces around, you know what I mean, that are responsible for the form of my personal existence. That's a certain feeling that people have. They don't feel the main anili mili. Okay? Why don't they want to feel the main anili mili? Because, okay, don't want that. Because a person has at bottom tremendous insecurity. Tremendous insecurity. Tremendous fears. He realizes that a person would realize, and that's really what's responsible for the Oved Meira. Person's Oved Meira. Person serves God from fear, which Chachamim don't say a person shouldn't do, but they definitely consider it a very low level. See, Gemara says for ignoramuses. Gemara says most people are moved because of that. Because they have tremendous fears, insecurities. Why do people enjoy going to a Hasidic Rebbe and asking him what they should do precisely and tell them what to do? Insecurity. Tremendous insecurity. A person can't feel that he is going to make the big decision. His life is so important to him that to feel that what he does with his life depends upon his decision is too frightening. It's too frightening. See? So, a person who has superior mental abilities, a chacham, yes, the Rambam says go to a chacham. A person has a chuli and nefesh has to go to the chacham. Berachas kanam. What does the pasuk say about berachas kanam? Pasuk in the Torah. The Rambam says, how could this? That's a real bracha. How could this kohen amoretz? This ignoramus stand in front of the congregation, and he has in the congregation intelligent people, chachamim. And how could this man, this ignoramus, bless this Talmud Chacham? This is absurd, the Rambam says. How could you have such a situation? So what does the Rambam say? The Rambam says, what does the Pasuk say? The Samu es Shemi al Bnei Yisrael va'ani avarachem. That God says you should do v'ani avarchem means God is the one that's the mevarech. So the kohen isn't the mevarech. You see, in the very institution of bracha, which is halachic bracha. I mean, what could be more important than the birchas kahanim? That's the real bracha. Halachically, it's a halachic institution. Who is the mevarech? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the mevarech, not the kohen. All the kohen do is the kohen make the statement. The klal is supposed to listen to the statement, you see, and understand what the statements mean, and then through that God will give them the bracha. But no human being is brachas. Okay. What? The priestly class. The Torah would have looked favorably at such a type of situation. The Chassidish Rebbe is a genealogy which isn't based on any real halachic classification. If the Torah would have felt that such an institution is good, the Kohanim would have been the ones, the priestly caste. So what do we? You see that Yahadus is completely against that. Tefillah should pray himself. Korov ad Hashem l'chol korov. We have a pasuk in the Torah that says God is close to all. Pasuk in what do you call it? Tehillim in Asher. Korov Hashem l'chol korov. God is close to all those who call on Him. All. Doesn't say the special people. Anyone. So therefore, a person should recognize the first thing is that he can talk to God. directly he. Okay? V'chol ha'sheikru v'emes. Now, as a matter of fact, you're not allowed to pray to any other being. Not allowed to pray. That's one of the Gimli Kram. Shelo levado roi lespalel. It's only befitting that a person should pray to God, and the aimless spalel is a lusso. And you can't pray to anybody else. You see, so the central, the Kram, the main concepts of Judaism, is that a person should pray to God. He has a direct relationship with God. And if he wants to achieve any level in his life of perfection, this is the foundation, the principle upon which everything's based. That's one of the Yigamali Kram. Congregation pray, yes. Because Tfilah B'Tzibor, the Gemara says, that when the whole congregation prays, that as the God answers more than when an individual prays. That's Sepulach of Tzibor, Klal Yisrael. That's why when we pray, we always include others. And it's all of Tzibor. That's a different thing. That's not a mystical idea. Special schus, Klal Yisrael. We believe it because the Hashgacha relates to the Klal. As a matter of fact, the Rav one time said that with regard to Rosh Hashanah, he said that the only Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, he says the only thing that we really have to rely on in din is insofar as you're part of the call. Insofar as the call, he says, yeah, a yachid, he says, can say tzedek adin, and that's it. Yachid can't do much, but a person can rely. The only thing a person has is insofar as his chus, insofar as he's part of the. Klal Yisrael is an entity. Yes, it's true. But it's not a mystical thing. That's a halachic concept. The thing is like this. So really, most people feel, you see, that their lives are too important, and therefore they feel that there has to be these tremendous forces that are constantly guiding them. See? And therefore, whatever happens, they fool themselves into thinking that there's some type of fate. People call it the fate or destiny that surrounds them. What is this fate or destiny? That is what Hillel said is a false thing, false idea. Imeina nili mili. There is no such thing as a fate or destiny that surrounds me. It's all... Everything in my life depends upon only one thing. It depends upon my decision. And even if I should depend my decision on others, let's say, for instance, I go to somebody, I consider him to be the greatest person in every move of my life, I'll go by what he says. So you'll say that I'm not it's not me. Who made that decision? You. You made that decision? So therefore, everything that results from that decision always boils down to you. The bottom line is, realistically, the bottom line is you. Anything you do, the bottom line is your mind. See? But then he said like this, U'kisha'ani la'atzmi mo'ani. But when a person realizes that, he's struck with a tremendous fear and insecurity. Why? Because kisha'ani la'atzmi, if it's only dependent on me, that's really the bottom line. And in fact, it is, no matter what you do, it's inescapable, because there is no way that your life can be guided by anything else than by your decision-making process. Whatever you do, you have to come down to the bottom line is your decision-making, right? Now, the thing is, most people don't recognize that. They want to feel there are other forces involved. They fool themselves. They don't say amen and illimili. Why? Because they're afraid of the second if. Because she'ani la'atzmi mo'ani. See? If I am the only one, that everything in my life depends on that, depends on me. Moani, what am I? You see, you recognize he's too insignificant. And there's a tremendous fear, emotional fear, to face that insecurity. It's one of the greatest fears that people have. You see, you take a look. You see, why were all these institutions set up? All these institutions, from primitive man's institutions to modern man's primitive institutions. You know what I mean? They're all set up for one reason. Because she'ani la'atzmi mo'ani. They can't face that. Can't face that idea that really it all depends on this little decision-making process which exists in you. And everything revolves around that, no matter how you twist and how you turn it. People don't want to accept that. So, That's the Pshat Shana Lach. Shana Lach in money, he says, that's what he means when he says that if I am to myself, so then I'm still, I still lack. If a person truly recognized that everything that he has, if he truly traced what he has to his, and he would truly recognize what everything is dependent upon, he would never feel that he has accomplished a lot. On the contrary, he'd feel a certain, in terms of everything that surrounds him, he'd feel a tremendous insignificance. See, that's what the, that's what it means, Shanwas Mimani. False notions have a deleterious effect, because people who believe that this fate surrounds them, it prevents them from ever making any change in their lives. Because whatever happens, bashiyat this way, bashiyat that way. So why should, instead of investigating in themselves and really seeing what the root of the problem is, what they go around and saying, things are being worked out for me wonderfully. Why should I change it? Imena nili nili. That's what he says. That's a fantasy. Hillel is breaking that fantasy. See? And even though, ukashani latsmi, the next step is, of course, kashani latsmi mani, but that's it. That's the reality. Shana lost me money. It's not easy. But what Hill demands, Chazal demand reality. That's it. Now, what's the last thing? What's in Loach Shavim Asai? And if not now, when? See? If not now, when? Why does that tie in? Vim Loach Shavim Asai. Fantasy. There are two central fantasies that a person has in life. One, and they're both really related. One is that he's being guided by a tremendous fate and destiny. That's the first thing. See? And the second thing is that there is he has an eternity ahead of him. It all comes from the same psychological source. It all comes from the overestimation of the person self. Right? But this psychological source carries with it two expressions. Two fantasies emerge. Those fantasies are the fantasy of the destiny, and also that there's an eternity ahead. That's what Hillel said. Imlo achshav emasai. He said the second component, another expression of the same source of this fantasy, is that there's an eternity ahead. Imlo achshav emasai means that the person really feels plenty of time. There's an eternity ahead. That's why he said if a person would be realistic with regard to his life, he would conclude two things. First of all, that he has to make the changes necessary if he wants the changes to exist in reality. And secondly, he must do it right away. Reality, realistic with regard to time. That's the unification of the memory. The memory breaks down two of the most powerful fantasies in the person's life.